All right. I have taken the liberty this Christmas to begin a holy sermon series, which will last 5 weeks, I think 4 weeks maybe. And it is called Search the Scriptures, and hence the search theme, because if we are curious about something, if I have some question, like, what's the weather going to be on Highway 1 between Saskatchewan and Winnipeg over the next 8 hours? Where do I go? I pull up the old Google. And so I'm going to ask a couple questions. Most of these questions over the next couple of weeks are like common questions. You know what one of the most commonly asked questions about in the Bible? And I'm not sure if I'm going to do this one, but it's great. But this is the funny one. Are dinosaurs in the Bible? It's in like the top 5 of Google things about the Bible. So anyone want me to do that? My wife wants me not to do that. So, but for today, we will ask this question, is what is Christmas according to the Bible? Yeah, it was like, what is Christmas according to the Grinch was like the top suggestion there, which was great. What is Christmas according to the Bible? So what is Christmas according to the Bible? Now first, the word, quite obviously, Christmas is from Christ, Christos in Greek, and Mass, which was the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The Catholic Church is celebrating Mass, which we don't agree with theologically everything, but the celebration of Christ and the feast of Christ we do not have issue with, because we are pro-Jesus here. Is Christmas in the Bible? So, the word Christmas, not in the Bible. In fact, the New Testament does not in any place ordain a festival for us to keep, be like, on the 25th of December, you shall all gather around and do such and such. Does never says that. In fact, in the New Testament, we are specifically warned about arguing about special days and festivals in Colossians. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So, don't argue about it. And yet, we have to see that Christmas is all over the Bible. Christmas is all over the Bible in 3 ways. One, the Old Testament looks forward to Christmas Day, specifically the birth of a child. Number 2, the Gospels tell the story of Christmas. This isn't some made-up thing we're celebrating. Jesus really was born in a manger. And 3, the rest of the New Testament reflects on the theological importance of Christmas. So, the Old Testament looks forward to Christmas. You know the first time the Old Testament looks forward to Christmas? Happens pretty quick. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, this is to the serpent, and between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The promise is specifically that a child from the woman would destroy the work of Satan, crush Satan's head. And it's a kind of a beautiful picture that just as the woman Eve, through the lies of the snake, fell into sin by bearing the forbidden fruit to her husband. Now we see Mary, who would bear the child to redeem us all, Jesus Christ. We see the promises specifically of a son. Therefore, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And It's not just that like God would come and save the day, not just a congregating, but a child would come, which is why it's right to celebrate Christmas as the birth of the Christ child. Isaiah 9:6, and just a wonderful passage, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince Peace. And it's not just that Mighty God, Everlasting Father would come, but a son is given. An appointed son would come. Christmas is biblical because it is the celebration of events that the entire Old Testament looked forward to. Events that are not just Christ's life and what it is meant, but his birth as a child, as a point that is looked forward to as the specific fulfillment of prophecy. And quite obviously, as the Old Testament looks forward to, the New Testament and the Gospels tell the story of Jesus' birth. And we see in the Gospel of Matthew, right away, the first chapter of the New Testament, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, Matthew's Gospel always takes time to point out how Jesus' coming fulfills the Old Testament hopes. And as we go through, we can see him reference how Jesus fulfilled the virgin birth from Isaiah 7. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy about being from Bethlehem, from Micah 5:2. It's like, whoever heard of a book named Micah? Apparently it's in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled the promise. Hosea 11, about him being called out of Egypt. Matthew has this whole part we don't talk about a lot, how Jesus ended up, Mary and Joseph, they fled from Herod into Egypt, and then from Egypt went up to Nazareth, and this was to fulfill the prophecy, out of Egypt I have called my son. And Jesus himself embodies the nation of Israel, and just as they went into Egypt, so did he. Now, the Gospel of Mark, it just says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, just goes right in, and Mark's purpose is kind of being brief, doesn't talk a lot about Jesus' birth. But then you get to Luke, and Luke has just mountains of verses. Like, you could spend, in fact, I did, like 2 months preaching about Jesus' birth. We have Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. We have this story that's told that's so reminiscent of the Old Testament. How we have this barren couple, like Abraham and Sarah, with Isaac, with Hannah and Elkanah, with Samuel. And they have this special son, John the Baptist, who would mark the end of one age and the beginning of another. And we get to have this story of the meeting of Elizabeth and Mary. I really love the story, and I love it for a very particular reason, is that, so there's this like kind of feminist critique of modern movies, and it's actually a good critique, because if you go look at most movies, that the female characters like are only there to kind of further the male characters, and so you never get like female characters talking to each other in a lot of movies. You go look, and it's crazy how often this happens. But the Bible has female characters talking to each other. And here it is. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we also get to hear how Mary spoke scripture, spoke this poem, the Magnificat. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Finally, with all the prolegomena that Luke gives us, we get the gospel, the birth story itself. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And so in Christmas, when we celebrate the manger and the nativity scene, we don't make up, this isn't something just made up by people, but the very words of God that has given us this scene that we remember on Christmas Day. When we think about the angels, so we put an angel on top of the tree. We don't do this just because we thought it was a cool idea to have an angel on top of the tree, but we remember the angels who came to the shepherds and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Luke tells this whole story in such grand detail to let us know that this is important. It's not just that Jesus came as a man and as a king and died on the cross, but came as a child that was heralded and celebrated by angels. And so Christmas is a biblical story. And then we come to the fourth gospel. And the fourth gospel tells the whole story totally differently, but the same story. And simply, John, reflecting theologically, says, "And the Word became flesh." The Word, which John has already told us, the Word which was with God and the Word which was God from the beginning, that Word became flesh. And so there was a moment when God entered into the story of creation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What is Christmas, according to the Bible? It's a time when we remember when that Jesus came. Something that is from the Bible. It's a story from the Bible, not tradition. We see it in the Old Testament. Prophecies that look forward to the virgin conceiving. The Gospels that take all of the time to describe to us in intimate detail the circumstances of Christ's birth. And then, as we go into the rest of the New Testament, it's not like they forgot that Jesus was born a child in a manger. Paul, in his arguments with the Galatian Judaizers, Paul points to Jesus' birth as the fulcrum on which redemptive history turned. For Jesus came to fulfill the requirements of the law. Galatians 4:45. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And so in the same way that God kind of adopted or entered into humanity, Paul points to is the fact that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we receive that same sort of adoption so that we, as simple human beings, could commune with the divine in a real way. We become adopted as sons. It's just a phenomenal thing. Jesus' birth does this. The fact that Jesus was born, really living as a man, fulfilling the requirements of the law, means that he can be a savior. When Paul, in the high point of really the Bible, Romans chapter 8, is talking about how we are saved, he points not just to Jesus' death, but to his coming as a child. "For God has done with the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh." God entering into the world is this dramatic and important moment that we rightly celebrate. Jesus' birth matters. And Paul, when he's talking about something as simple, you think about humility, and it's like, if they command, be humble. But no, instead, again, he points to Jesus being born, entering into humanity. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. So Jesus' birth isn't just something that we like think about for some like grand fun celebration, but it actually, Jesus' birth has relevance for how we treat our neighbor, how we think about ourselves, about it's a motivation that we shouldn't be about ourselves, but that we should be about others. Because even Christ put himself in the lowest place in order to serve others, so we too can be a servant, so we too can look to others' needs before our own. So, what is Christmas according to the Bible? Number one, it is the celebration of Old Testament hopes. Everything in the Old Testament points to this time when God would change all things. Secondly, it's the story of the Gospels that we tell. And third, it's salvation for all who believe in Christ, because this is the moment that made salvation possible. God entering into human form so that we could become like God. Now, Christmas isn't everything. If you just count the verses, they spend more time about Jesus' death and resurrection than his birth. But it's a crucial and important moment that we rightly take a day to celebrate. And we take the 25th day of December. Nobody exactly knows when. I shared this last night because I accidentally did it. I was supposed to wait until tomorrow. But today, yesterday, tomorrow. The day before tomorrow, but then the next day. That the 25th of December was chosen for a very weird reason, and it's weird for no reason that you would ever think of. It doesn't really have to do with the dates of any Roman holidays. The most clear way that they can understand it is there was a tradition in the Old Testament, or not in the Old Testament, in the early church, that Jesus died on the same day that he was conceived. And so if you take the day that he was conceived around Easter, at least Easter on the day that they take it, and then go back, then go forward 9 months, boom, you get to December 25th. Except they fixed the date of Christmas, and they kept the date of Easter floating according to the lunar calendar, which is all super confusing, but that's how they get December 25th. Now, it may or may not be December 25th, it doesn't really matter, but it's a good day to celebrate and remember the doctrine that isn't something that we got from people, but the doctrine that we got from the Bible that is taught in the Old Testament, Gospels, and the New Testament. So, a note of application. One, we can celebrate Christmas. Don't feel bad. Say Merry Christmas. Go all Christmas out. Be the most Christmassy Christmas people that you can possibly Christmas. It's awesome. If you don't want to, it's not a command to celebrate Christmas, but hey, why not? I mean, it's one of the few times in the culture that we get to say Merry Christmas to everybody. We get to literally say joy for Christ being born to everybody we meet. They don't think we're weird at all. Secondly, because Christmas is a holiday, a biblical holiday, about Jesus coming, we should celebrate it in a way that points to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how you're going to do that, but it could be something as simple as before the kids get to open up their gifts, we're going to read the story of Jesus' birth from Luke 2. We're just going to open up, we're going to read it. It takes literally 5 minutes. I know the kids will be the entire time. But at least we're saying, we're giving gifts. Because Jesus Christ came. Maybe you read the part about the Magi. Look, the Magi gave gifts. This is why we give gifts. And in any other creative ways that you can make Jesus great on Christmas, and I have a challenge for somebody. Somebody up there, somebody, I have a challenge. And that is, you know that awesome like Christmas light display on the other side of town? It's like they play the music, all the lights flash. Really, really awesome. It's like a cool thing. We like to go and I stare at it for like way too long. So the kids can see it. And I have this dream that somebody would do something like that, make a big light display, to make it specifically about Jesus Christ. And so the people come, they park, and they look, and they would hear the Christmas story, the real Christmas story. So I don't know if I'm going to do that, but if you get the idea, the inspiration to do that, I would love for you to do that. So, but in any ways, we always need to say, Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And let's celebrate that. Merry Christmas to everyone. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your goodness and love, and we thank you for Christmas, that you did not leave us, but came to earth, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies as is written in the Gospels, as we still reflect on today, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God for all of the good gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.